Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having seven kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
We like to think we know the difference between fantasy and reality. Perhaps one evening we might find ourselves alone at home, then we hear a noise or see something odd. Maybe it's a cupboard door left slightly ajar, a door that we could have sworn was closed before. Slowly, we might begin to feel the creeping sense of fear, that perhaps someone somewhere is watching us, that we aren't alone after all. Fear, it would seem, is a powerful primal emotion. So potent that it can even make us afraid of something that may not exist. But then again, just because we can't see something doesn't mean it isn't there. In a physiological sense, at least, most people would feel confident if asked to locate and identify the human heart, or indeed, the brain. But if someone were to ask, where exactly does consciousness reside, we might find the answer a little harder to come by. It is a question that has profound consequences, particularly if you are inclined to believe that the mind might also exist outside the body. You're listening to Unexplained, and I'm Richard McLean Smith. On one cold January evening in 1924, a young woman named Doris was giving birth at the Royal Free Hospital in Hampstead, London. The attending obstetrician, Lady Florence Barrett, had made a successful delivery when things took a turn for the worse. Just as the baby was being born, Doris suffered a sudden heart attack from which she would not recover. As she lay dying, she grabbed Lady Barrett's hand. "Don't let it get dark," she said. "It's getting darker and darker." But then, something extraordinary happened. An ecstatic smile played across Doris's face. "What is it?" inquired Lady Barrett. "Father is here," she said. "And so too my sister, Vida." The sudden appearance of Vida was especially remarkable considering she had died 2 weeks earlier and Doris had not yet been informed of her death. For the next hour, Doris continued to talk to Lady Barrett, but also with the spirits of her father and sister, who she believed had come to take her to the other side. A short time later, Doris passed away. When Lady Barrett returned home, she relayed the incredible story to her husband, Sir William Barrett. For Sir William, an eminent physicist and fellow of the Royal Society, it was an astonishing revelation. A revelation that was to mark a significant turning point in the research he had been conducting for the last 50 years. research into the possible existence of poltergeists. The word poltergeist is derived from the German for a ghost that knocks. For some, they are believed to be malevolent spirits that can interact and communicate with our physical world. Sir William, however, had a different theory. Rather than being the machinations of an evil spirit, he believed the reported effects of poltergeists were actually caused by as yet unknown powers of the mind. He believed this right up until Lady Barrett told him the tragic story about her patient Doris. Suddenly, it had become clear. Could it be, he thought, that the poltergeist was a spirit after all? One that, unlike the spirit of Lady Barrett's patient, had for reasons perhaps linked to the manner of their death, not been collected by loved ones while waiting at death's door. Instead, they had become trapped, forever destined to exist in the horror of a disembodied limbo. For author and paranormal enthusiast Colin Wilson, his feet were firmly in the former camp. He believed the havoc caused by so-called poltergeists was in fact linked to the chemically charged process of puberty and adolescence. Or at least, he believed that until something extraordinary occurred that would change his mind as well. Just what exactly took place in a small West Yorkshire town between 1966 and 1970 has never been fully accounted for. Often described as the most violent haunting in Europe, it is a mystery that remains to this day unexplained. Located on a Roman road partway between Leeds and Doncaster, the town of Pontefract has a rich and bloody history. For John Betjeman, it was home to the licorice fields where his love and he did meet. For Shakespeare, the town's castle was the place of Richard II's brutal murder, hacked to death within the guilty closure of its walls. And some have even claimed Pontefract as the death place of Robin Hood. But for the Pritchard family of No. 30 East Drive, it will forever be associated with the terrifying events that began one swelteringly hot day in August 1966. For Jean and Joe Pritchard and their 12-year-old daughter Diane, the August bank holiday weekend was a chance to relax after the recent move into their new home. For Jean and Joe's son Philip, however, it was a chance to have some time to himself. Having fallen out with his father, Philip had elected to stay behind, but since he was only 15, it was arranged that his grandmother Sarah would stay to look after him. After seeing the rest of the family off, Philip went to the garden to read, leaving his grandmother knitting inside the house. A few hours later, a large gust of wind tore through the living room, slamming the back door shut. A surprised Philip ran into the house to see if everything was all right. Sarah had assumed it to be the wind, but as Philip remarked, it couldn't have been more calm outside. Shortly after, Philip went to put the kettle on. When he returned 10 minutes later, something strange had occurred. His grandmother, still knitting on the sofa, had been too engrossed to notice the peculiar cloud of fine white dust floating around the room. Instinctively, they looked to the ceiling, thinking it might be some whitewash that had fallen from above. But then, Philip noticed something incredibly strange. The dust seemed to be falling from waist height, as if it had materialized out of thin air. Sarah noticed it too. When she stood up from the sofa, it was as if she had poked her head above the clouds. Puzzled by the strange appearance of the dust, Sarah called on her other daughter, Marie Kelly, who lived in the house opposite. They returned to find the dust still falling in the living room, the furnishings now completely covered in a thick layer of the chalk-like substance. Marie went to the kitchen to begin cleaning the mess when she suddenly skidded across the floor. She looked down to find little pools of water all over the linoleum, but when she tried to mop one up, another puddle would seem to instantly appear in its place. Assuming it to be a leak coming up from under the house, Marie pulled up the lino, only to find the concrete underneath completely dry. A plumber was called to the house, but he too was unable to locate the cause of the flood. An hour later, the puddles mysteriously disappeared. What they didn't know at the time was that those strange reoccurring puddles are considered a classic sign of a poltergeist. At about 7 o'clock that evening, Philip came through from the kitchen. "It's happening again," he said. When Sarah followed Philip into the kitchen, she found the counter covered in sugar and tea leaves. The dispenser was switching itself on and off as boiling water cascaded onto the surface top. Suddenly, an almighty crash came from out in the hallway. Clearly, somebody was in the house. Philip and Sarah cautiously approached the door and slowly pulled it open, but the hallway was empty. Then the light was inexplicably turned on, revealing the source of the crash. At the bottom of the stairs was a plant pot that had been smashed on the floor. Then another banging started, this time coming from the kitchen. In terror, they ran back to find one of the cupboards shaking violently, as if somebody was trapped inside. In a fit of panic, Philip yanked it open, but it was empty. They ran again to get Marie. When they returned, all the cupboard doors were now shaking, the cutlery and plates rattling violently inside. And then it stopped. Marie's husband Vic, although skeptical, suggested they speak to their neighbour, Mr. O'Donnell, who was thought to have experience dealing with such things. Despite the lateness of the hour, Mr. O'Donnell was more than happy to oblige. On returning to number 30, they found the place to be exceptionally cold. However, after waiting for almost 2 hours, they found no sign of anything else untoward. But as the three were exiting the house, a loud crash was heard from inside. Marie switched on the light to find that 2 paintings had been thrown to the floor, their glass frames completely shattered. And further down the hall lay another broken frame. Marie turned it over and gasped. It was a photo of Jean and Joe Pritchard on their wedding day. It had been slashed right across their faces. Are you always taking care of your family? Do you often take care of others and not yourself? Now it's time to take care of yourself, to make time for you. You deserve it. Teladoc gives you access to a licensed therapist to help you get back to feeling your best, to feeling like yourself again. With Teladoc, you can speak to a licensed therapist by phone or video. Therapy appointments are available 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. local time. If you feel overwhelmed sometimes, maybe you feel stressed or anxious, depressed or lonely, or you might be struggling with a personal or family issue, Teladoc can help. Teladoc is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy to change counsellors if needed, for free. Teladoc therapy is available through most insurance or employers. Download the app or visit teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast today to get started. That's teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast. When the rest of the family returned 2 days later, they struggled to believe the accounts of Marie, Sarah, and Philip, and that appeared to be the end of the incident. 2 years later, as the August bank holiday came round again, Jean's mother Sarah couldn't help but be reminded of the events of 1966. She started to hear noises again, a low thud at first, shortly followed by a familiar loud bang. She asked her daughter if she'd heard them too. Jean, who had spent most of the day redecorating, had little patience for her mother's nonsense and told her so in no uncertain terms. Seconds later, however, there was a tremendous crash. At the bottom of the stairs was Jean's bedpan. She picked it up and started carrying it back to her bedroom when they heard a second crash. Racing back to the landing, they found 3 plants had been thrown and smashed from their pots. It would appear the poltergeist was back. That evening, Jean, unable to sleep, headed to the kitchen to get a drink, but when she walked into the hall, she froze in fear. A strip of wallpaper was moving on its own accord. And then, the brushes she had been decorating with earlier were pulled into the air and one after the other launched at her head. She scrambled back to the room, screaming for Joe to wake up. Joe and Jean rushed back to the hall where Diane and Philip now stood, woken by Jean's screams. All around, more objects were pulled into the air and flung at the terrified family. Together, they fled to the safety of Joe and Jean's bedroom and slammed the door shut. At this point, it might be reasonable to ask why the Pritchards didn't move, but they argued the event had brought out an innate territorial nature. This was their home, and they weren't about to allow themselves to be bullied out of it. For the next few years, They endured a number of strange events, from loud bangs to severe drops in temperature, as well as the intermittent battles with flying objects. They had even given the poltergeist a name, calling him Fred. At one point, a local reverend was consulted, which seemed to act as a catalyst to a sinister turn of events. The reverend, Mr. Davy, was convinced there was something evil inside the house. Something that later seemed to fix its attention on Diane. One night, after getting into bed, Diane felt a presence in her room. Suddenly, the covers were yanked from the bed and the mattress wrenched up from underneath, throwing her violently to the floor. Another time, a crucifix was flung across the room that stuck to Diane's back like a magnet. When it was finally pulled off, a red cross-shaped mark could be seen on her back for the next few days. Perhaps the most terrifying event happened one night when Diane was making coffee. As the kettle boiled, the power was suddenly cut off. As Jean stumbled to find a torch, Diane let out a blood-curdling scream. When Jean ran into the hall, she found Diane being dragged up the stairs by an unknown force, her cardigan stretched out behind her as if being pulled, and an invisible hand seemingly at her throat. When Diane was finally released, her neck was covered in finger marks. The events finally came to an end after a family friend alerted them to an old Scottish tradition. Many years ago, superstitious crofters would hang garlic to ward off evil spirits. The Pritchards gave it a go, and sure enough, it did the trick. Fred had gone. 10 years later, local historian Tom Cunniff began to wonder if the haunting might have something to do with the Pontefract Priory. The priory had been built to house a number of Cluniac monks before being dissolved by Henry VIII in 1539. The story gained credence when a neighbour of the family found a book in the town's library detailing the case of an unsavoury Cluniac monk. The monk had been sentenced to hang for the rape and murder of a young girl during the time of Henry VIII. It was also believed that the monk had strangled his victim. After a little more research, Tom made an unnerving discovery. The Pritchard's house was built almost directly on top of where the old gallows would have stood. In truth, we will never know exactly what happened in those 4 years. But after a careful study of the records, it would appear that no monk had been executed in the area after all. Certainly the debate as to what might explain the strange series of events remains wide open. A few years after the Pontefract haunting came to an end, a group of Canadian scientists, intrigued by poltergeist phenomena, carried out an extraordinary experiment that they hoped might settle the debate once and for all. The experiment, created by Canadian mathematician Dr. George Owen and overseen by psychologist Joel Witten of the University of Toronto, took place in 1972 and has become known as the Philip Experiment. Together with a test group of individuals of extremely high IQ, including Dr. Owen's wife Iris Owen, a former chairperson of Mensa Canada, the scientists claimed under test conditions to have contacted a spirit known as Philip. The spirit was even captured on video, seemingly conversing with the group through knocks on a table and at one point even moving the table around the room. The only thing was, Philip didn't exist. A few months earlier, the group had been tasked with creating a fictitious individual with whom they might later try to contact. The group settled on a character that they named Philip Aylesford. Born in 1624, Philip was given an entire backstory, including links to a young Charles II. It was also decided that Philip's life had come to a tragic end, committing suicide at the age of 30 after his girlfriend was accused of witchcraft and later burnt at the stake. Having sufficiently plotted out the story of Philip's life, the group began trying to contact his spirit. After a number of months, the experiment failed to yield any meaningful results. However, when they adopted a different approach, this time recreating the atmospheric setting of a séance, the results were staggering. Almost instantly, they experienced the familiar knocking noises associated with poltergeist hauntings, followed by the table being rocked and pulled across the room. The group was utterly convinced. They believed that the sound and the movement of the table was the result of their collective minds trained in such a way as to affect the physical world around them. What they claimed to have discovered was nothing less than telekinesis. Unsurprisingly, their results met with skepticism from the scientific community, and despite claims to have replicated the results in studies across the world, an absolute proof has remained elusive. But perhaps it is something else entirely that is taking place, something unrelated to the spirits of the dead, real or otherwise. In his essay Mind and Matter, the celebrated Austrian physicist Erwin Schrödinger considered the relationship between our conscious minds and the physical world. He believed it was merely a convenience to imagine the world existing objectively on its own, that one way or another, it does not become manifest without a conscious mind to observe it. The inference being not that the material world might only exist as a figment of our imagination, but rather that our conscious minds might somehow create the physical world around us. As improbable as this may sound, the truth may be even stranger. As demonstrated by what is known as the double slit experiment, physicists have come to accept an extraordinary peculiarity in the way that subatomic particles behave. Thanks to the work of physicist Max Born, it is widely thought, in the mathematical sense at least, that rather than occupying determined positions and outcomes, all particles exist merely as a collection of probabilities. The principle is known as superposition, and its implications are unfathomably profound. In short, it would seem that only when a particle is observed by the external world does it become fixed in any meaningful way. Perhaps, like the eponymous planet of Stanislav Lem's Solaris, we might imagine the universe as merely a giant mass of energy, drawn into shape and form when witnessed by our conscious minds. The world we create and experience seamlessly assembled before us as if molded from some kind of subatomic putty. Is it inconceivable that rather than being the disembodied energy of a malevolent spirit or the as yet untapped power of telekinesis, the poltergeist phenomena is nothing less than our imaginations becoming manifest? A phenomena powered by the heightened sense of collective fear. With this in mind, you might start to wonder just what terrors could we create next? As ever it might seem, it is not fear itself that we should be afraid of, but rather ourselves that we should fear. All elements of Unexplained are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or on Twitter at unexplainedpod. Now it's time to take care of yourself, to make time for you. Teladoc gives you access to a licensed therapist to help you get back to feeling your best. Speak to a licensed therapist by phone or video anytime between 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. local time, 7 days a week. Teladoc therapy is available through most insurance or employers. Download the app or visit teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast today to get started. That's teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, We've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.